Welcome to The Summit, a podcast focused on bringing you the knowledge and insights for industry leaders. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and I'm on a mission to help you exceed your potential. As a sales guy turned marketer, I am passionate about building sustainable businesses. And if there's one thing I've learned in my 20-year career, it's that you won't find an overnight growth scheme, a shortcut to success, or a way to hack yourself to the top. Nope. Success is the byproduct of hard work, great relationships, and deep understanding done over and over. We're here to help you unlock that success with some secrets from other people, one conversation at a time. Welcome to this week's episode of The Summit. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and today I'm here with Anthony Jackson. That's right. It is Anthony Jackson, isn't it?
It is.
Welcome to the show. Now, is it Anthony or Tony? Which do you prefer?
Anthony, when you're mad at me.
Anthony, all right. Tony is the host and small business owner for a company called Techie Tony. He has a podcast called Techie Tony Marketing, which is a marketing podcast for networkers. And we're super excited to pick his brain because he's been in New York City or in the New York greater metro area and helping people grow their businesses through his own personal adventure. So welcome to the show today, Tony.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
It's been fun kind of hearing your story and doing some of the research here. What I'd love for you to do is tell our listeners what it was that got you into podcasting to begin with.
Yeah. So I guess, first of all, I've never been in New York City. I'm actually from Detroit. I live in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, sweet Jesus. We probably should redo that whole... No,
oh, that's okay, man. That's okay. I've been around the world. It's all good. I have always had kind of a vision to kind of start a podcast. I never really knew, you know, where to begin or what to do or how to do it. A couple of years ago, I went out and bought a blue Yeti microphone, and I had this wild idea to start a podcast. And of course, when I got it, I froze and didn't know what to do. I procrastinated. I got scared. I didn't think anybody was going to listen. I didn't know how it was going to go. I'm sure you went through this too. And it sat and collected dust for 2 years. And I've got this Techie Tony brand kind of growing a little bit. And I decided that, you know, with COVID going around and times are tough for a lot of people, that I would start doing interviews for people and make it a paid podcast. So I called it the Techie Tony Marketing Podcast. And with the nudge of a friend who knew Canva pretty well, she whipped me up a logo and said, now you have no excuse. You have people to talk to in a logo, so go do a podcast. And so I started a podcast.
That's actually really cool. So you did it as a paid, yeah. As a paid podcast. So people pay to come on your podcast and talk about what?
Their business. So I don't know if you know anything about networking, but for those of you that do network, we all know that that's a really great way to grow our brand and our business and create relationships. And through that networking, I was able to build strong relationships with people to be able to interview their business to help me make an income for myself, grow my brand, and help them out in return as well. It's kind of a win-win in all aspects. So...
That's actually kind of fun. Like I hadn't ever thought of making people pay me to be on my podcast. So, you know, the next guest I reach out to, $5, maybe that's,
well,
or do you, or how do you price? Like maybe the question here is how do you price? Like, how did you come up with, I'm going to charge you what? $5, $100, 10,000. Like where'd you come up with your number?
Yeah. So if there's one piece of advice I could give you, if you're ever thinking about doing a paid podcast, it's do your homework. I had my son for a week or two over the summer here in Missouri, and he was eating all kinds of food because he loves Hot Pockets and stuff, and funds were tight. And I was like, well, I need to do something. So I started charging $20. Well, lo and behold, the podcast completely took off. And I was like, okay, this is not good. Like, I'm going to run out of people to talk to eventually. $20 is not going to be enough. So I bumped the price to $45, and that seems to be a comfortable point. So it's $45 for about 30 to 35 minutes. And, you know, you ask the questions and we ask the questions and you give the answers, and it just kind of works. And on my very first month, I made a little over $500, which was incredible for just talking to people over the magic of the internet. So I was like, well, this is an income producer. I think we'll keep this. So I did.
That's fantastic. And you've done how many episodes up to this point now?
31, I think, is my number.
Way cool. So, I mean, it's become a pretty substantial income stream,
it was, you know, you were like, hey, I got this microphone and somebody made me a logo. And now you've got 30, 35 episodes. Good for you.
Yeah.
What are you learning? Really. Like, what are you learning about it through this process?
I'm learning, like, for me, it's mindset. You know, buying a microphone 2 years ago and not having it do anything for 2 years was kind of a kick in the head, right? When I finally got out of my head and realized that I could do this, that's when it all changed for me. So I think mindset was a big one for me. I'm learning a lot about other people's businesses, how they act, how their business turns. And I love more than anything, what I love about what I do is hearing people's stories. I like hearing their whys and their motivation behind what they do. And that's a big one for me because your why is always changing. You know, it's always getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper why you do things. So I've learned so much about technology. Podcasting for me was a new thing. I had to do research on podcast hosts and I discovered, you know, Buzzsprout and RSS feeds. I didn't know what any of this stuff was. So after some Googling and, you know, getting interested and I just discovered all these things. I was like, okay, I think I've got enough to make it happen. And I started talking to people and they were like, hey, I want to be in your show. And I was like, okay. So it just kind of works.
Well, that's, you know, it's nothing to shake a stick at. That's a really cool story. Since you brought it up, I mean, your why started off as a hot pocket, but there's got to be a deeper why now. So what's the why today for Tony?
So it's my son, right? He's 16. He's a little new to me. He loves what I do. He's very interested in the technology aspect of things. He actually helped me set up my podcast. He was showing me how to embed the code on the website, all things that I knew how to do, but that was, you know, not the priority. I wanted to get things up and running. He's like, oh, Dad, you got to put the code in the, oh, okay. And, you know, he's like, I go, can you make it bigger? He's like, yeah, let me show you how. So it's really cool to just, you know, watch him grow and be around that and share that interest with me. But he is my why. He is my reason why I get up and do what I do. He just lights up my day. So, you know, that's my why.
That's pretty great. Just the 16-year-old. So you got a couple of years left with him there. Have you had him on any of your podcasts? Like, has he participated at all other than just behind the scenes?
No, he's really big on the tech side. He really likes the tech side. I don't think he's quite developed the social skill, if you know what I mean, to really be able to talk to people. He really likes to talk about technology. Like, I do computer repair as well. And he'll ask me questions like, how do you do this? And I'll tell him, and I'll be like, well, what do you do if they've got a laptop and the, you know, the keyboard's broken? He goes, well, I just call Best Buy. He just has this answer for everything, but it's not the answer we're looking for, right? So I don't think he's quite there, but he's definitely getting there. But there's been times where I've done episodes and had no volume and he's been able to go, oh, hey, Dad, you're on mute. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know,
it wouldn't be 2020 if there wasn't somebody saying, hey, you're on mute.
Right. So he's there to troubleshoot sometimes and wonder why, you know, episodes aren't uploading or, you know, the MP3 wasn't edited correctly or whatever it may be. It's just super cool to kind of see him share those same interests. So it really helps when you've got something in common. It makes the why a little deeper.
That's fantastic. Now with these conversations, as you're digging into people's whys and stuff that you're sharing, what are some of the coolest things that are motivating or driving people? It can't all be money motivated, even though it's a marketing podcast. What are some of the things that you find are fascinating that motivate your guests?
That's a good question. Something that I find, Kyle, man, I don't know how to answer that. That's a really interesting question. You caught me off guard with that one. Something motivating. I think, you know, everybody just wants to get the word out about their business. I mean, I think the answer to that is what I do is not geographically limited. So I think there's a lot of people that do have a target market and that can come through digital marketing and things like that. But if you've got a home-based business, I think that's the motivation behind it. Because you're not geographically limited. You don't have to go, well, I live in O'Fallon or where I live and I can only go there. I think that's motivation in itself to find $45 and spend it. Because that's the beauty of podcasting. You just never know where it's going to go.
What's your favorite episode? What's one of the things that you've recorded and you're like, man, that was just a really fun conversation or it was great energy or just a really interesting home-based business?
I forget the episode number, but it was with a girl named Jess Beeson with Willow Tree Tutoring. She does ACT prep for students. And it was just one of those episodes where it was just pure, authentic, and you could really hear what she was trying to convey through the podcast. And it was just incredible just to talk to her and learn more. Like, I knew what she did, but I didn't understand what she did. You know what I mean? And she just is always posting stuff on Facebook, you know, oh, our kids got a 37 on their ACTs. And I'm like, yep, I remember hearing that on the podcast. So that was one of a couple, but that was a really powerful conversation we had.
Well, 37 is that's a big number on an ACT.
Yeah. Yeah. She does tutoring and just impacts kids all around the world. And I think that's very cool. And again, she was not geographically limited because now people are doing, you know, video tutoring and things like that. So it was just really cool to have her on and actually get to know her a little bit.
So does she in her situation, does she focus solely on high performers or is it anybody? It's like, just you want to get to school, we're going to help you out.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a child that needs a little help with the ACT and the college prep aspect of things, she can help. She's just amazing. She's such a unique person. She's open. She's kind-hearted. She wants you to succeed. And she's got so many different success stories. You can check her out at willowtreetutoring.com. She's amazing. She really is. She gets to help kids and impact kids and families all around the world.
She did leave an impression. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it's probably timely with your son being 16 and at some point knowing that he's going to need to do SAT or ACT prep, right?
Yeah, because nobody wants to do the homework on who to hire, you know?
And the books are thick and boring. And I remember when it used to be the ACT prep was a book and a CD-ROM, and that was atrocious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember those days when you could buy like those books with the DVDs in the back. Oh, yeah, those were fun days.
So now tell me, you said... Yes, exactly, right? Earthlink, AOL, Time Warner, Roadrunner. I'm trying to think what the other Midwest. Yep, there you go. Oh my God, Prodigy. Oh, that takes me way back.
Juno.
So, huh?
Remember Juno?
I do remember Juno. Yep. Juno, there's a reason they went out of business.
Yep.
True story. So, So as you talked, you said that your podcast kind of just took off like a rocket and went on. What sort of things did you do to market it? How did you get customers? What was it that made this come full circle for you in not only creating a little bit of a revenue stream, but also getting the word out there to get listens?
I'm going to go with networking on this, man. I mean, networking really has been the core of my business, my computer repair business and podcasting. It helps that people knew who I was. I had an audience in the background, but there's two things. Like if you're going to start a podcast, I would strongly encourage you to know who your audience is. There's a saying in marketing world, if you're marketing to everyone, you're marketing to no one. Specific is terrific. Know your audience, know their pains and problems and know how you can help them. The more money, the more problems that you solve, the more money you're going to make, period. And the second was just really knowing my market and really knowing, you know, who my market was, which were home-based business owners. And nowadays, everyone's got a home business. So if there ever was a perfect target market, that was it. So those are the two things that really helped me nail customers, because my business is I show home-based business owners how to leverage technology so they can grow their business using social media. Well, everyone has tech problems and everyone's on social media, so let's go make some money. So that was my thinking behind that.
And it sounds like it worked, right?
Yeah. And it still does. I mean, there's always somebody that's like, hey, I need help. And I'm like, I can offer so much help in a different areas, like whether it's adding a text record to your domain or just getting you exposure for your podcast, for your business. Or it's just a conversation. Hey, how you doing? I'm not so good. What's on your mind? Let's talk. That builds a relationship. That builds trust. People buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? So it just works no matter what. There's nothing wrong with giving away your time, as long as it's not too much.
And there's probably been quite a few people that have gone bankrupt giving away their time.
Oh yeah.
Their heart was in the right place, but the bank account disagreed with them.
Yeah. You got to know when to say no, man. You got to know when to stop and just go, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I can't do it.
So now tell me, you said you've got, so you have like a brick and mortar location for your repair shop or your small computer repairs?
I had a brick and mortar computer repair shop, but it didn't really work out. That's the joys of going into business with someone else you don't really know. He ended up going mobile and doing whatever. And I went home and we did some serious name changing and bought some different domains and things started to finally click. And I love working from home because you don't have nearly as much overhead and I get to spend all of my time on Facebook, as boring as that can get sometimes, but it brings me customers. You know, there's always someone looking for tech help, whether it's in your business or if it's just computer repair.
So talk to me a little bit about that. That's interesting because I think some of the listeners here, you know, whether they are, you know, B2B or B2C or even just a home-based business like you're talking about, how are you leveraging Facebook in these places to find the folks that are looking for tech help or get that message out? How are you leveraging that to drive in new prospects?
Yeah, so it just comes back to knowing your market. So for me, it's middle-aged people for computer repair. And some senior citizens and even seniors are on Facebook. So I joined a bunch of Facebook groups. I wait for people to say I need help and I chime in and I just add a little value and say, hey, listen, you know, that can be a really delicate situation. If you want to talk, let's hop on a call and see what I can do. And, you know, there's consultation fees you can charge. Like, it's not geographically limited in that sense. I get it all the time. I have a lady in Illinois right now. We're building a computer for her. She just spent a chunk of change and we're building a computer for her in Illinois. We had a call and, you know, it worked out. Even if I got to give you advice so that you can bring your computer to someone else. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Because you don't want to take your shop to someone you don't know. You probably got tons of documents, pictures, videos, whatever it may be in it. You don't know. You don't know if they're going to back it up. You don't know what's wrong with your computer. All you know is it's broke. So to pay someone $60 for a consultation fee to kind of learn a little bit more about what to expect is invaluable.
I knew that was an issue, but I never really thought about it from that perspective, given that, you know, my dad calls me for tech problems and I'm like, oh, here we go. This is an uncompensated 2 hours that I'm not going to get back in my life. But, you know, for somebody like you with that expertise, turning that into a revenue stream, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone wants to pay, obviously. That's the name of the game, especially during a pandemic, right? But sometimes you just got to be raw with people and be like, listen, I know that it sucks and I know you're in a difficult situation, but I want you to know you're not alone. And like, we have a computer repair business. You're in demand. I'm like, no, I'm not. Most of my business is going to someone's house. People are weirded out right now because of COVID and whatnot. So my business stopped. So I pivoted and I started the podcast. But I still have that computer repair in the back of my head just in case anyone's like, hey, my email's not working. That's not good because it's digital. And there's a pandemic going on and you're growing your business using the internet, right? You have to have email. You have to have communication. Facebook's not always going to be around. Email will never go away, right?
Well, that's what they said about the post office. But given some of the changes being made lately, I don't know if that's going to be a staple much longer either. So my hope is that email doesn't go away or that the spammers don't continue to ruin it. Like it'd make me feel a whole lot better if they quit sending out all the spam, but
yeah,
it's not going away tomorrow. That's for sure.
No, I mean, email's everything, you know, password resets, account creations, information. It's how I communicate with my clients through podcasting. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without it. Some people just don't like to talk on the phone, man. Email just works for them.
Yeah, I think there's that tweener somewhere in between the boomers. I think they call us Gen X, but yeah. That tweener generation where, I'll talk to you on the phone. I can do that, but maybe I don't prefer it. And I'm not really going to write you a tome in text or I have enough conversational nuances that if I don't get it in an audible form or it's in long text or long written form, it becomes a bit of a challenge to understand what somebody's saying. So, I mean, there's definitely a age group that leans heavily on email communication, written correspondence, and staying in touch via that. So
I feel like this pandemic it's terrible, but at the same time, it's one of the best things that's ever happened because it's brought more families back together. It's brought kids and families back together. It showed people how to grow their business. It's forced people to get uncomfortable. And if there's one thing I've learned through being in business is sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to be successful. And I got to tell you, putting my face in front of a microphone was really hard. It took me 2 years to get out of my head. So I'm just saying, like, I think it's good that it happened, but I also think it's very bad. A lot of lives have been changed. Look at all the people that wrote books. Some people gained weight. Other people wrote books about their life. Like, how powerful is that? And they're selling them for profit for like $8-$9. They're building an audience out of a, out of their story. That's incredible.
Is that next for you?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to figure out the way that I want to do it, but you know, being tech savvy has its disadvantages. I have a problem called shiny object syndrome. You've probably heard of it.
So
for me, it's you know, the podcasting equipment, right? It's always like, well, what if I do this? And then I discover something new. And then my friend Harry the squirrel shows up and he's all like, he bites and, you know, like I got to sit down and focus. I have to focus. And that's what was so hard about getting started with this podcast, because there was so much technical jargon that I wanted to know. You know,
so what was it that broke the walls then? I mean, I know you said your friend built you the logo and then away you went, but what really changed for you? Because I think that there's a universal element in business and in personal development, personal growth, where there's kind of like that switch, whether it's weight loss or starting a business or in your case, getting in front of the microphone and doing the podcast. What was that trigger?
Accountability. The worst thing in the world. Accountability.
What do you mean?
Well, you won't let other people down, but you won't let yourself down. So when someone else says you have no excuse and you realize that you have no excuse, it changes. When that clicks, when you're like, oh shit, sorry. Oh crap, they're right, you know. yeah, I guess I need to go. When they crush every objection, when that logo was created for me and she said, well, you've got 2.2 billion people to talk to, and that's just one network. And when she said, you've got a microphone that's paid for, that was another, you know, obstacle crush. And then she said, and your logo was free, so you didn't have to come out of any expenses, so you have money to spare. She crushed that objection. So what else was there to do, right? There was the start of podcast. So it was like being in check and chess, right? It was like check and mate, and you're done. Go start a podcast.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was one of the guys I follow on LinkedIn. He posted something about the, he calls it the Netflix effect and the Queen's Gambit getting, so you mentioned chess, which triggered the Queen's Gambit from Netflix. But when Netflix released that, there was like Google, it became the ninth most chess became the, how to play chess became the ninth most searched thing in Google within a matter of 2 days.
Yeah.
Of that show being released. Mm-hmm. Chess set sales are up 70%. Do you think that there's an effect that these businesses that are coming on and talking with you where they have the Techie Tony effect, where it's like, now that the word's out and it's kind of safe, I can learn about this home-based business, or somebody, I can hear somebody's passion, like Willow Tree. You think there's a Techie Tony effect where there's a rise in sales or an influx and change in the behavior of those listening for your guests?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's again, knowing your audience and just that brand is what builds. People hear that, they go, oh yeah, I know Techie Tony. And that's just, it is what it is, right? I think there definitely is a Techie Tony effect. I might just make that a new hashtag, the Techie Tony effect. I like that. Thank you. Give you royalties. But yeah, absolutely.
I won't cash those checks just yet, but I will hold it to you. We've got it recorded.
Absolutely, man. There definitely is a Techie Tony effect. Because again, people buy from people they know, like, and trust, right? And when you can honestly just say, yeah, that person can help you, then it changes the game. That's what I love about networking, because it's people that you already know. It's people that they've built rapport with. There's nothing worse than like, I got to go to the doctor and get a physical and I have no idea how to even start. Isn't it nice to go to your friends and say, yeah, I know you, I trust you. Yeah, that was a lot easier than calling 9 different places. You know, it wouldn't matter if you didn't have insurance, you'd still go because you trust them.
Yeah. The trust component is something I think is often completely missed. And yeah. I believe that it's really what catapults a lot of folks from just being, I don't want to say average, but from having a small impact to a large impact, especially in the influence of the social media community, that the more you're trusted, the more you become reliable, the greater your reach.
Yeah.
because you have more and more and more people talking about how they trust you, how they see the consistency, how they, you know, they're watching those things happen.
Yeah.
So as you look at where the podcast has been and where it's headed, what's next?
Well, yeah, that's exciting because I don't even know what's next, but I got something on the plate, which is really cool. I'm actually getting ready to launch a brand new podcast. It is called the Social Hangout. I've got a co-host. He's in the digital marketing space, and we're going to be starting a podcast called The Social Hangout January 1st. It's just going to be everything social media and digital marketing, and who knows what's going to happen from there. So I'm really excited about that. That was easy to kind of come up with because I finally got out of my head after doing one podcast. I'm like, well, if I can do that, I can definitely do this. So I just went to Canva and put a logo together, and there you go.
And the rest, as they say, is now accountability.
Right. It's exactly right. Because now I've told my co-host that I'm getting the intro done. I've told him that I'm excited, and he's like, oh, okay, great. Let's do this. I'm like, all right. It's okay. It's not okay when it's just you, because that's when you're like, well, I'll just never start it. And you just sit here in your head forever and you'll get stuck. But when you start telling people about it, then it becomes really scary, because then you're like, okay, I told somebody, I just told X amount of people who knows in your audience that I'm starting a podcast, and I'm freaking out on the inside. Like, oh my God, like, but I got to do it, right? You just got to do what you got to do. I don't care who you are, grown, young, we all have fears.
Yes, we do. And conquering those fears can sometimes be the difference between finding outrageous joy and feeling trapped and isolated.
Yeah.
In your adventure of growing this podcast during a pandemic, is there a part of your adventure, your conversations that's cathartic, or there, is it a way that you stay engaged? Because networking seems to be very important to you. Like, you talk about the social hangout, you talk about things you're doing online, people and relationships seem to be really important to Tony. Is this one of the ways you feed it, or is there, are there other avenues that you're using to get that human connection right now?
I mean, it's you know, there's email marketing, there's ways to communicate with people and be in front of your audience, which is something I'm really bad about, I'll be the first to admit. But I really enjoy the relationship aspect of that, because if you can build a relationship with somebody, that's great. But when you can build a relationship with somebody that you have something in common with, it's even better. When you can relate and have a dark, uncomfortable conversation with somebody that you're totally not okay sharing with, but you know that you're on the same level of them, that's when it becomes real. That's when the relationship is established.
Have you gotten there in any of your marketing episodes, or will people not let you go there because it's...
There's been one. And it was just a dark conversation that I did not want to have, but it came out. And I'm really glad it did, because, you know, when you're in a relationship or married to somebody, you don't want to tell your significant other that stuff. They already know it. But when you can find somebody else that shares that problem, it's amazing how easy it is to talk to them. It's almost like it's almost like nothing's wrong, because you're just having a conversation. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, I think that that's when I think about marketing and I think about relatability, going back to, you know, the things you keep talking about, like, know, and trust, those aren't uncommon. But I think what people forget is that like, know, and trust really shouldn't be, it's not fabricated. It's not disingenuous. If you're doing it correctly, it feels effortless, right? Building that likability, building that trustworthiness, building that knowledge of somebody, it really is an effortless action if you're being authentic. But if you're in a spot where you're stuffing things or hiding things or trying to market because you're trying to play outside of the realm of where you're at, if you're uncomfortable, it's going to come across as inauthentic and it's not going to resonate as well. So, you know, when you talk about having those moments and dark conversations and they come to the top, I think it's super awesome that you had somebody that created space for you to share those things and for you guys to connect on a human level, and you captured it. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's something I'll never forget. I love capturing, you know, stories and learning people's whys, because some people's whys are just more deeper than anything you'll ever imagine. It's just amazing. It's I can't really share any because of, you know, privacy reasons, but like, it's more than just a logo. It's more than just what you do. It's in your brand. It's in your logo. It's in your voice. It's everywhere. And you can hear that when someone's having a great conversation and they just stop and go, you know, I really love what I do. And when you hear that, you can tell. It changes the mood. It changes the conversation. It stops you in your track. You don't know what question to ask next because you just had that moment where it was like, this is wrong. Like, holy cow, this person is passionate about what they do. And you almost want to take a moment and just wipe away a tear and be like, man, thank you for that. You know, that's that moment where it's like, crap, you caught me off guard. Like, that doesn't happen too often, you know?
Sure.
But it's cool to hear because it just makes the conversation flow and it creates a ton of questions to ask. Because if they're willing to share that, then they're willing to go deeper. And there's people out there that have, like I said, man, we all got problems. There's people that have mindset issues, that have been abused, that have can't quit smoking or have lost their dad or their mom to cancer or whatever. And when you relate to that and people know that it's okay, it's a completely different dynamic, man. It's completely different. It changes the game.
Why do you think so few people make space for that level of empathy and that level of intimacy to allow it to come in an environment like a podcast or marketing or in relationships in general? Why do you think that there's such a barrier in allowing for that moment to happen?
Well, I think a lot of people are scared. I think a lot of people are scared and they just don't know how to let it come out. It's hard to let something like that out, something that dark, but it also comes down to trust. You know, if I've known somebody for 6 months and we have a conversation, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You're going to come out if you feel comfortable. So I think it comes down to trust, adding value, just, you know, solving people's problems, having genuine conversations. It's one of the big reasons why I'm here today with you, man. I mean, we had something scheduled, didn't really work out due to some circumstance issues with life, but you were there. You followed up and said, hey, listen, I hope everything's okay. You took the time to reschedule. You understood my point of view, my situation. And dude, that just goes a long way. And that goes for any situation. You could have easily said, you know what? I'm sorry. I just don't have time for people that don't show up. You could have easily said that, but you didn't. And that goes a long way. And when you build trust with people, it's incredible. It changes the dynamic, man. It really does. I mean, think about it. I don't know anything about you. You don't know anything about me, except for I got a podcast and you got a podcast. So we've established the no factor, Techie Tony, you have a podcast. We've established the like factor because we're talking. And the trust factor was when you sent me a Zoom link and said, I want to have you on. And the rest is accountability, as you say. So, you know, like, it's just, trust is incredible. And you really got to take some time to build it. And if you don't, it can make things really uncomfortable.
So let's take the opposite side. In your interviews and the stuff that you've had in podcasts, have you had moments where it wasn't going well because the trust and likability wasn't there, where you're like, oh, I'm just going to read the question off the paper and it gets kind of robotic? Or
not really. I mean, there have been weird podcasts where, you know, like, it's supposed to be a 30-minute ordeal and they've blown through 15 questions in 10 minutes, right? And you're like, so thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. There's been situations like that makes it really hard because you get that person with the dry personality that's like, you know, hey, tell me about yourself. And they're like, I'm 35 and I got 2 kids. Okay, on to the next question. And you got to start like thinking like 20 steps ahead, right? Because you don't know what to say. I've never had an issue where trust was an issue, because what I try to do is, before each podcast, I try to have a quick 35, 45 minute call with them to learn a little bit more about their business. That way I don't catch them off guard. And that gives me a chance to establish that trust. So if they're willing to get a call with me, then they're more than willing to open up to me about certain things. Maybe not the dark stuff, but at least start a conversation with me and let them know that it's going to be okay.
Any funny stories like things where you're like, oh my God, this is hilarious. It's outside the fact that like you were afraid for however many years. And then you're like, well, I guess I figured out I'm pretty dang good at this. I should keep doing it.
Funny stories. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm sure there is one, but I just cannot think of any off the top of my head. There's always those embarrassing moments where you talk when someone talks, and then, you know, I have a lot of weird conversations with my editor because he gets to hear all of them, but those are fun conversations. But he's really cool. And, you know, I don't know of any funny stories off the top of my head. I'm sure there is some, but I just can't place any. But there's always a moment where like, oh, I got to reboot my computer, or you hit record and somebody says their name wrong or their phone number wrong. It's like, can I redo it? It's like, sure.
Or some idiot says that you're from the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, and you're actually from Michigan.
Yeah, I know this guy with the Summit podcast.
You're not going to believe this. This guy harassed me for months to come on his show. I show up and he doesn't even know where the hell I'm from. This idiot thought he was Letterman. It's ridiculous.
But I think that's also good, man. That shows your personality. It shows that it's okay to mess up is what I'm trying to say. It's okay to jump over your words. It's okay to not ask the right questions sometimes. It's okay. Like, don't be scared. It's never going to be perfect. Never. So stop trying to make it perfect. That's one of the things that got me out of my head when I realized, wow, this is never going to be right. My website's never going to be right. My marketing's never going to be spot on. I'm never going to have enough guests. I'm just going to stop and just take action.
So I love those elements, and here's why. I tell people that I'm a sales guy turned marketer. Because I was lazy and I thought marketers were stupid. And so I went on to the dark side to try and figure out how to do it better. And when I got across the aisle, I got a mentor. And my mentor used to look at me and say, Kyle, if you put that food on your plate, you got to eat it. And I would look at him and say, what are you talking about, Bob? And he goes, perfect is the enemy of done. I'm like, what are you talking about? And his point was, over years, he finally broke through to me. It was like, I kept putting more things that I could ever accomplish on my plate. Couldn't figure out where to start because none of it was done perfectly. And so I was stuck. I was frozen. And you talking about getting over your fear and, you know, just accepting that it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be exactly what you want. But getting started, done is so much better than perfect. Because now it's behind you and you can move on to the next thing. And that to me, I think was probably one of the most freeing things, but it took me like 4 or 5 years to figure that out.
Yeah.
Cause I'd be like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And before I knew it, I'd look at my plate and it was like Thanksgiving. It was a Thanksgiving feast. It's all the food that I was going to eat during the day on one plate to start. And you're like, well, nobody's going to be able to eat that ever.
Yeah. This is what helped my computer. Well, it kind of weird. My computer repair business, when my girlfriend said, when I graduated college, she's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I want to start a business. She's like, well, you should totally do that. I'm like, okay. And she goes, what kind of business do you want to start? I'm like, well, let's just do computer repair because that's what I know. She's like, okay, do it. I'm like, well, hold on. You can't just tell me to do it. It takes time. I need a laptop. I need a webcam. I need a computer. I need editing software. I need all of this crap. And then I realized that all I really needed was my brain and an LLC. And I bought a domain name and the website went up and some guy called me and I'll never forget it. I went to his house. He had a printer issue. We ended up fixing it. And I said, thanks. And he gave me $100. And I said, are you sure? Looked at me like, well, you did the work, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, here's your money. I'm like, is this how it works? Like, I didn't get it. It took me a few months to really grasp that concept. And then when I got it, I was like, people pay me to fix things. Oh, okay, I get it. Let's have a business. And it took me, because I'd always had a corporate job, right? Owning your own business is a little bit different.
There's a bunch of difference when you own your own business.
I mean, the guy looked at me like, I just want to pay you for what you did. Like, it's nothing big. I'm like, it's huge. You're giving me $100. Like, you don't understand what I can do with this. It's $100. And I was like, if I could get five of them a day, I could make $500.
Right.
And then it started to make sense. I was like, oh, people have problems. I have a solution. I get it. Okay. It took me a few months to really click.
So I'm and then really here you are today, right?
right. And I've used that lesson, you know, moving forward in my business and my podcast. I love when someone says, I have a problem. I'm like, talk to me. What do you got? I used to be like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I love when people tell me they have problems. Like, bring it on. Bring it on.
What are your favorite types of problems? What are your favorite types of things to work on for people?
I love, like, computer-wise, I love when people have viruses. I love it because they flip out. They're like, oh, my God, I got this pop-up, and it wants me to call this 888 number, and I don't know who they are. I'm like, just relax. I got it. And I love having conversations with those people because they think it's like the end of the world. And I'm just like, oh, this is just another day in paradise for me. Quit clicking on stuff, man. Like, let me show you what you did wrong. Let me show you how to fix it. Let me show you how to prevent it. I really enjoy those conversations. And I really love when someone tells me I'm scared to do a podcast. That excites me because I know all about that. I'm like, listen, you're scared. I can't even describe to you how terrified I was when I made the purchase. Because I was at the point where my mindset was like, you're going to spend $150 on a microphone that you're never going to use. And when I went home that night, my girlfriend even said, you spent $150 on a microphone. She's like, you're never going to use that. And that hit home for me. That hit home. I was like, you know what? I'm going to prove her wrong. She can't talk to me like that. I'm going to do my podcast. 2 years later, I got it. It took me a while. But I had that little voice in my head going, you're never going to do it. You're never going to amount to anything. I'm like, oh, hell no. I can't deal with this. I got to do something. So I started a podcast.
Look at you go. I mean, just get down with your bad self. I can relate because, right, and I don't know if you can see this. There you go. So yeah. This is the first mic I bought. It was a mic in a stand with a screen shield. It was $34 on Amazon. Because I was like you. I'm like, I don't know if I'm actually going to do anything with it. I got the condenser mic because, you know, the 47 articles I read said that that's what you needed. And it came. And I recorded my first couple episodes. And then I was like, I really don't like the sound quality. So then I bought the Yeti mic and I went kind of in stealth mode for a while because it was like, it was $100. Why would you spend that much money on a mic? And now I look at the equipment. I'm like, oh, that looks really nice. Do I need that? Can I justify that? No, but God, it'd be really cool.
Yep. I think that's a big thing when you start podcasting. You don't need much. You just buy a microphone and you find an editor, someone reasonable, and you just do your thing and you just talk.
Yeah. Or use your phone, record the files to your phone. You have some of the best microphones and headsets that come with devices that you get for cell coverage.
If you're not tech savvy, starting a podcast is the smartest thing you'll ever do because you'll end up having all the greatest equipment because you don't know where to start. So it's perfect. If you're tech savvy, you'll end up having more than the best. You'll go broke in the process and not have any money for your email marketing software. So if you're thinking about buying starting a podcast, it's best if you don't know anything. I really believe that.
Oh, that's too funny. Podcasters you love, who do you listen to?
Pat Flynn, this guy with the Summit podcast. He's great.
Keep plugging me.
He's got great hair. Makes mistakes all the time where you're from. Pat Flynn, anything digital marketing. It's hard to find a good podcast to listen to these days. I don't listen to a lot, but every once in a while when I need some inspiration, I check out Audrey, which is where we connected, and just try to find something that inspires you the most. They say that if you're down and you're not feeling results, you know, audiobooks are great for mindset, but podcasts are even better. You know, listen to those before you go to bed. I just try to find something that inspires me because I've always got an idea. It's just how to implement it. And I love podcasting because it's just so different. It's so different than anything I've ever done. You ever just like open up a browser and go to Google and just type the word how to, and you're like, what can I learn? That was my next word was podcast. And I clicked on the ad for Buzzsprout and the price was right. I was like, all right, let's do it.
That's fantastic. It's that's the hosting solution I use as well. And I like it, but like you, I didn't know enough. So now that I'm learning more, it's like, well, do I need this? Do I need that? But, you know, I think you're right, where it's like, if you just take a couple of things to get yourself committed and you get rolling on something, you'd be very surprised at how rewarding that adventure will be.
Yeah, I get it. You can be scared. You can be not wanting to do it, but I'm telling you, man, the sooner you get out of your head, the better it's going to be, because you will stay broke and you will stay scared and you will wonder where the years went. It's happened to everyone at some point in time in their life, whether it's business or personal or a death in the family. What you got to let go at some point. You just have to wake up and go, okay, it is what it is.
Especially in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. And that's something you can't control. And that's the worst, because you can't control death. You can't control, you know, pandemics, but you can control your actions. And that's hard. And that's where getting out of your head begins, when you can just wake up and go, I got to go to work. I just have to. Instead of, I know if I turn that computer on, I'm going to find another hosting solution, because I've been thinking about it for the past 20 years. And then you start to realize that just time has just gotten away from you. And you're just like, all right, I need to make a move. So there comes a breaking point. Everyone has their point where they're just like, okay, I got to do something. I just don't know what. And sometimes having a conversation with somebody can help.
You know, I really can't think of a better way to wrap up, because we're sitting here chatting. I was like, you know what? I was going to ask Tony for his final thoughts, but I think your last little bit there is just fantastic in the right amount of encouragement and the right amount of helping people take that step, encouraging them to, you know, to find the confidence to do that. So thank you for that fantastic segue. Give us the 15-second spiel. If somebody wants to get a hold of Techie Tony and get their podcast or record an episode with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can reach me at my email, which is hello@techietonymarketing. That's T-E-C-H-Y-T-O-N-Y, the word marketing.com. You can call me direct if you want, 636-980-6472, or reach me on Facebook.com/techietonymarketing, I think it is. And just shoot me a message. And I don't really, you know, I just really just want to talk to you and just get to know you a little bit. I don't just jump into things. I want to build a relationship with you, because it's important, because I don't know who you are and you don't know where I am. So shoot me a message and let's talk and see what we can do to help you grow your business. 2021 is going to be a big year for a lot of people. Is it going to be your year is the question.
Great question. For those of you who want to get a hold of Tony, you can scroll down into the comments or to the description of the episode. We'll have his contact information in there, as well as just a brief description of what we talked about today and highlighting the great stuff that Tony does for helping his guests. Tony, it's been an honor and a pleasure. I really appreciate your generosity. Thank you so much for being a guest today on Summit Podcast.
Yeah, of course.
We've enjoyed it.
I really think... really glad you reached out, man. I really am. It was just an honor to be on, and I've never actually been a guest on a podcast. You were the first. So
well, you know, that's fantastic. You did great.
Good. You did great. Detroit, just so you know, Detroit.
Yeah, like we'll you know, I don't think we'll edit that out. We'll let me eat my humble pie on that one. For those of you who are listening in, you've been listening to Summit Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer. Thank you again. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, share. And until next week, keep grinding, growing, and being a better you. You've reached the Summit Podcast with Kyle.
Thanks, man.